This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The first major investigative report on the Uvalde school massacre has just been released. The 77-page report on the murder of 19 students and two teachers. Texas lawmakers cite systemic failures and egregious poor decision-making across multiple agencies, local, state, and federal. The report says nearly 400 officers responded to the scene, but that no one assumed command, saying local officers failed to prioritize saving the lives of innocents over their own safety. Officials say the gunman fired more than 100 shots in a matter of minutes, and that prior to the May 24th massacre, he had never fired a gun. And for the first time, the report gives us an understanding of a possible motive tonight, how family members are responding. Our Maria Villarreal is in Uvalde, and Aaron Katursky is standing by with late reporting. Breaking in the West tonight, tragedy in midair. Two planes collide. What we're learning about those on board. Europe's deadly heat wave, more than 1,000 people, mostly elderly, dead. And those numbers are expected to rise as record-breaking triple-digit temperatures spread, fueling wildfires across the continent. And here at home, dangerous heat is building tonight. Our Rob Marciano times it all out. The terrifying scene inside a comedy club. A man pulls out a gun. Everyone evacuates. Then he begins firing shots just before comedian Craig Robinson was set to take the stage. What Robinson is saying tonight. A child bystander dies after a police chase. The tragedy outside Minneapolis. What we're learning about the investigation. President Biden returns home to a firestorm of controversy over his fist bump with the Saudi crown prince. And now his domestic agenda is unraveling. And developments tonight ahead of the final hearing of the January 6th committee. And the major surprise for dozens of high school students.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. Tonight, we are learning more about the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, where a gunman ended 21 lives. The first major investigation into the incident outlined systemic failures and what its authors call egregious poor decision-making. We now know nearly 400 officers responded to the shooting. The report concludes that law enforcement failed to prioritize saving the lives of innocent victims over their own safety. Officials say the police never set up a command post, and that avoidant leadership could have contributed to the loss of life because of the delay in action to take the gunman down. But it's not definitive about if lives would have been saved with a faster response. Victims' families are now reacting to that report. One girl's grandfather says Texas law enforcement and the Texas government failed the students. We have team coverage tonight on that 77-page report that details the 77 minutes before police finally confronted the shooter. ABC's Maria Villarreal, who's been with this story from the start, leads us off from Uvalde.
Tonight, a scathing new report revealing disturbing details surrounding the Uvalde school shooting. A Texas House Special Committee finding a series of systematic failures on every level, playing out on the day the gunman opened fire inside Robb Elementary, killing 19 children and two teachers. The 77-page preliminary report revealing that 376 law enforcement officers responded to the scene, the majority from federal and state agencies, stating law enforcement responders failed to adhere to their active shooter training and they failed to prioritize saving the lives of innocent victims over their own safety. Surveillance video inside Robb Elementary capturing the 77-minute attack. The shooter walking inside, accessing room 111 through a door with a lock that had been broken for months. According to the report, the majority of the 142 total rounds fired inside the building occurred before any first responders even entered, including approximately 2.5 minutes during which the attacker is estimated to have fired over 100 rounds. Law enforcement positioning themselves outside the classroom, but the committee pointing out there was never an establishment of an effective command post outside, leading to a breakdown in communication between federal and state officers. School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo testifying, within minutes of entering the building, they treated the shooter as a barricaded suspect, prioritizing getting children evacuated over approaching the attacker. My thought was, we're a barrier. Get these kids out. At 12:52, officers breaching the room. The committee stating, given the information known about the victims who survived through the time of the breach and who later died on the way to the hospital, it is plausible that some victims could have survived if they had not had to wait 73 additional minutes for rescue. The report also examined school safety measures that failed, citing Robb Elementary was inadequately prepared for an active shooter. The school's alert system, Raptor, delayed due to Wi-Fi issues. And no one had locked any of the three exterior doors to the school's west building, giving the shooter unimpeded access. Had school personnel locked the doors as the school's policy required, that could have slowed the progress for a few precious minutes. A possible motive also revealed in the report. The shooter was a former student of Robb Elementary School and actually attended fourth grade inside room 111. His former teacher testifying he was bullied that year. The committee concluding the 18-year-old had no prior experience with firearms, and May 24th was likely the first time he fired a gun.
Several officers in the hallway or in that building knew or should have known there was dying in that classroom, and they should have done more, acted with urgency.
They believe this report to be the most complete telling to date. But after weeks of conflicting accounts from state officials, some families are skeptical.
Do you trust this investigation?
No. It started with lies from the beginning.
Today, they were given the chance to pick up copies of the report and view the video in full. Grace Valencia lost her nephew, Usaya Garcia.
How are you feeling after watching that video?
Broken all over again, like it just happened. They get paid to protect, to serve, and they didn't do nothing.
Uzziah's father hoping the report leads to wider change.
Whatever I see in this report is not going to bring my son back, but we need to prevent it so somebody else won't lose their son, their daughter, their kids.
Those grieving families say that this needs to be the last time this happens at a school. Maria Villarreal joins us now from Uvalde. And Maria, tell us about the officers who finally made the decision to confront the gunman, and now what happens next?
We know, Lindsay, those officers are actually Border Patrol agents. They were given the go-ahead to breach the classroom door, not by Pete Arredondo, but in fact by their superiors out of Washington, D.C. So they walked right past everybody in the hallway. They moved forward and they shot that suspect after opening the door and catching him by a closet. What happens from here is still a little bit unknown. As of right now, no charges have been filed against anyone. We do know the district attorney is still reviewing this case as we speak. But there has been a little bit of fallout here in the city of Uvalde, at least one person has been put on leave, the acting police chief who was actually on site that day. But as of right now, we're still waiting to see how this continues to develop. Even more video expected to come out overnight. Lindsay?
Lots of revealing details in that report. Maria, thank you. The report cites several missed warning signs with the alleged gunman and, for the first time, gives us information about a possible motive. ABC's senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky has been following this story from the beginning as well. What are you learning on that front, motive-wise?
Well, investigators say, Lindsay, that the gunman was driven by a desire for notoriety and fame, and he had a vague idea about a school shooting last year. Investigators determined he had been bullied at school and was an at-risk student, but the report said he received no special education services. And then this year, after a falling out with his mother, he started to plan. Online, he was nicknamed by others the school shooter. But investigators said none of his online behavior was ever reported to law enforcement. Once the attack began, the report identified a major error by law enforcement, the failure of any officers to assume and exercise effective incident command. But for all the missed signals and official failures, Lindsay, investigators could not say whether faster, more competent police action could have saved any lives.
And the fact that students had nicknamed him the school shooter ahead of time. Aaron Katursky, our thanks to you as always. We turn now to breaking story in the West, where officials say that two small planes collided in midair in Las Vegas, the planes crashing to the ground and then bursting into flames. The latest now from ABC's Zareen Shah.
The skies over Las Vegas, two single-engine planes colliding in midair just before noon. Video from the scene shows the wreckage of a plane in flames. Federal authorities say one plane was preparing to land when it collided with the other plane. A Piper PA-46 crashing into a field near a runway. The other plane, a Cessna 172, falling into a nearby retention pond. Sources telling ABC News four people were killed in the crash.
The FAA and the NTSB will be investigating. Right now, it's unclear what could have caused that crash. Lindsay.
Zoreen, thank you. We turn now to that deadly heat wave in Europe. More than 1,000 people are dead. Those sweltering temperatures are sweeping across the channel. Britain bracing for its hottest day on record this week. The hot, dry conditions fueling wildfires from across much of the continent. Thousands of firefighters now battling the flames. ABC's Inez de la Quintana is in the Bordeaux region of France tonight.
Tonight, extreme heat in Europe being blamed for more than 1,000 deaths. It's also fueling fires. In southern France, more than 14,000 residents forced to evacuate. In this forest, firefighters saying strong winds and scorching heat keep reigniting fires they've already put out.
You can see firefighters here working to put out these flames. Firefighters here have been working for days, and they're bracing for yet another long night.
It's not just France. In Spain, with 30 wildfires raging, this hydroplane scooping up water along a packed beach to fight a nearby fire. And tragedy in Portugal, a pilot killed when his firefighting plane crashed. The extreme heat, over 100 degrees in some places, especially threatening to the elderly, blamed by experts in part on climate change.
And here, yet another evacuation is underway. Firefighters say they're expecting conditions to worsen tomorrow. And this week, the UK, a country without much air conditioning, expecting its highest temperatures in recorded history. Lindsay.
And already more than 1,000 deaths there. Inez, thank you. Back here at home, millions are under heat alerts across the middle of the country. Temperatures soaring into the triple digits, creating intensely hot and dry tinderbox conditions. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, time this all out for us.
First of all, Lindsay, this is such a difficult time of year. In the northern hemisphere, sun's so strong, so these heat waves can be so intense. Look how widespread this one is in the states, from California to the upper Midwest to the Mid-South, and then Texas has had it so hard. Now over 50% of that state is in extreme drought, and excessive heat warnings are up from just north of Dallas in through Oklahoma City. Tomorrow's numbers and into Tuesday will be very dangerous. 112 in Wichita Falls. That does not include humidity. That's measured in the shade. 107 in Dallas. We do have storms moving in through the Ohio River Valley. They are producing some flooding rains, some flood warnings. Watches are posted there. Those storms get into the east, but it does not bring cooler air, only more heat coming, an extensive heat wave building across the northeast through midweek. Lindsay?
Sounds like it's going to be intense, Rob. Thank you. Next tonight, President Biden is back at home where his domestic agenda is on the ropes. The president landed overnight after that controversial trip to the Middle East. His fist bump with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman drawing increasing fire. Now he's facing the collapse of most of his domestic agenda. Here's ABC's Washington correspondent, Mary Alice Parks.
President Biden returning to Washington and news his legislative agenda has stalled out. Joe Manchin of West Virginia says he's walking away again from the latest round of talks for a Democratic bill around climate change funding and taxes for the super wealthy. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders unloading.
He has sabotaged the president's agenda. It is the future of the planet. So when Manchin sabotages climate change, this is for future generations. This is an existential threat to humanity.
Manchin said he's worried about inflation.
They can't buy gasoline. They have a hard time buying groceries.
With majorities in the House and the Senate, President Biden came into office with high hopes and a big to-do list for Congress. Infrastructure spending, money to fight climate change, paid family leave, child care, universal pre-K, and more. Now, with the midterms looming, Democrats fuming one of their own is standing in the way. Biden also taking heat from fellow Democrats over that fist bump with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who the U.S. says approved the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Biden said he did raise Khashoggi's murder in a private meeting and told the Crown Prince he believed he was responsible. Saudi officials, though, pushing back, denying Biden was confrontational. The president defensive.
Do you regret the fist bump, Mr. President? Why don't you guys talk about something that matters?
Mary Alice Parks joins us now from the White House. And Mary Alice, I want to turn to the January 6th riot investigation. The committee still gathering information ahead of its final hearing. But what are you hearing about it tonight?
Yeah, Lindsay, committee members today said that they were just shocked and having a really hard time believing that there weren't any backups, any records of those text messages from the Secret Service. They said they want the Secret Service to do anything they can to recover those text messages that might have been deleted, and they want those answers by Tuesday. Lindsay?
A lot of curiosity about those messages. Mary Alice, thank you. We turn now to the trial of one-time Trump advisor Steve Bannon getting underway tomorrow. Bannon is accused of ignoring a subpoena from the January 6th committee. He's pled not guilty and has asserted that conversations that he had with former President Trump leading up to the storming of the Capitol are protected by executive privilege. Bannon now says that he will testify before the committee, but no agreement to do so has been announced. And stay with ABC News. David and the entire team will be here Thursday for the final scheduled hearing of the January 6th committee, starting at 8 Eastern. And we turn now to that tragedy outside of Minneapolis. An investigation is now underway after a young bystander was killed after a high-speed police chase involving a murder suspect. Her grieving family is now hoping for answers as they mourn their child. More now from ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Tonight, intense grief in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
Pray for us. Pray for my family.
April McCarron driving her two children and two nieces home from a day of swimming Friday. At the same time, nearby, police were chasing a murder suspect.
I didn't see it coming. It's all a blur to me.
The car police were chasing barreling into April's car, a violent crash. April's six-year-old niece, Blessings, was killed.
Should never happen. And now I got to wake up every day without my baby.
Police say they located a murder suspect in his car, and officers attempted to use a tire deflating device to prevent a possible pursuit during the arrest attempt. The tire deflating device failed to immobilize. That's when the chase began. It ended here. April wants to know what more police could have done to prevent the crash and the devastating loss of a little girl who lit up a room and loved giving hugs and kisses.
Would any answer be good enough for you?
Absolutely not. I lost my niece.
Right.
Nothing will be good enough for me.
April says the family called Blessings their miracle baby because doctors say she wasn't supposed to live past the age of one. April says they were blessed to have her until the age of six. April also told me that all the other kids in the car are doing just fine tonight. And police say they arrested that suspect after the crash at the scene. Lindsay.
Thankful the time they did have. Phil, our thanks to you.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much up.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an eight-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
A North Carolina comedy club where actor and comedian Craig Robinson was scheduled to perform had to be evacuated because of a man wielding a gun. It happened last night in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone. Police say a man waved the gun around, then told everyone to leave the club. Once the club was empty, police say he started shooting. Robinson posted about the incident on social media.
Again, there's an active shooter at the club I was at. So that we had to run over here to this.
About 50 people were inside the club at the time the suspect was taken into custody. No one was hurt. Four emergency responders are dead after a sheriff's helicopter crashed Saturday in New Mexico. They were heading back to Albuquerque after assisting fire crews with a wildfire near Las Vegas. No word yet on the cause of the crash. An investigation is now underway. To the index, at least $10 million worth of jewelry and gems were stolen from a Brinks armored truck near Los Angeles. Some estimates put the value of the stolen merchandise at $150 million. The truck was headed to Pasadena after a show last week in the Bay Area. The FBI is working with local authorities on the investigation. And Oscar-winning actress Lupita Nyong'o had a big surprise for 40 high school students. She gave them each $10,000 in scholarships today during an awards ceremony at the NAACP convention in New Jersey. They were funded through the NAACP's partnership with Lancome and the Write Her Future Scholarship Fund. Finally tonight, images from Uvalde. More heartbreak there today after the first major investigative report on the Robb Elementary School massacre was released. That 77-page report details the murder of 19 students and two teachers. Lawmakers cite systemic failures and egregious poor decision-making across multiple agencies. The report says nearly 400 officers responded to the scene, but no one took charge. It faults local officers, who were the first on the scene, for failing to prioritize the lives of the victims over their own. Officials met with family members before the report became public this afternoon. One victim's grandfather says Texas failed the children. Our thoughts, of course, continue to go out to the families there. Thank you so much for watching. GMA, first thing in the morning. David Muir right back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. Have a great evening and good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.